I'm your host, Lily Mensah-Yabor, and joining me on the sofa today is marketing guru V. Roberts, the powerhouse behind Inspire Your Biz and Insight to Marketing. I must warn you, though, she's a bit shy and used to having other people holding the mic, that is her clients, so we're really lucky to have her. Welcome, Ms. V, and thanks for stopping by for a spot of tea with me. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Good. Let's hear a bit about the brand named V. Roberts, the quietly confident marketing powerhouse. V. Roberts is the founder of Insight to Marketing, where the business is pretty much about promoting others and making their marketing pounds work very hard. Their services include strategic marketing campaigns, public relations and events, internal staff communications, market research, social media management, sponsorship, and media buying. That's just a few of the things that they do. For her, it's not about thinking outside of the box. For her, there's absolutely no box. V is an alumna of the Chartered Marketing Institute, where she honed in her craft with a postgraduate diploma in marketing. She's also won an award from the Global Entrepreneurs Week team for her good efforts within the community for Inspire Your Biz. Now, Tea with Lily is a space for informal discussions with a relaxed format where we chat about topical issues over a cup of tea. Guests from all walks of life come in and join me to share their experiences and provide tips and tricks for professionals and entrepreneurs interested in career and personal growth. So V, you seem to be an optimistic, less try and see sort of person, and you've done really well with the launch of Inspire Your Biz events. How did your marketing career and all that begin? What took you there?
Well, basically, Lily, firstly, thank you for having me on your show. The history behind the brand Insights and Marketing came about because I was actually studied for a marketing and communications degree and then was made redundant a few years ago and became freelance.
Okay.
And in between becoming freelance, I was still studying. I did my postgrad with CIM, Chartered Institute of Marketing, and continued to work as an employee also. So I was juggling different jobs and raising a family. Being made redundant, I then went on to basically working contracts and decided that in the last sort of year and a bit, I would actually look at having a home office and focusing more on growing my own business rather than working for paying clients in their offices. So I'm now at the place where I've put myself in the position of where I was before I began contracting, and that's how Inspire Your Business has become my new baby.
Hey, well done. Congratulations on that. So you said, you know, you've worked with some large organizations. You know, there's the BT, a for-profit organization. Then there's Croydon and Lambeth Councils, who are not-for-profits. So the two areas of experience. What's been your experience in both sectors? Can we have the pros and cons of those?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked across all sectors, really, apart from finance and legal. And what I would say is on the public side, it's really taught me a lot around the importance of looking at things like processes. And although there's quite a lot of red tape, it's actually been a learning experience for me. And highlights have been, you know, benefits of working across different departments and collaborating with different teams to achieve the same common corporate goal. And similarly, in the private sector, it's been about having lots of money come in, but then at times also working on really tight budgets with different organisations. And again, really emphasising that partnership side of things. And I guess the sort of challenges that you face being a private company as well. So there's been lots of pros and cons. And particularly in the charity sector, when I worked for a charity, a children's charity, which is now Young Epilepsy, I led on one of their campaigns, and that was one of the biggest campaigns that they've done to date and is still running. That was a highlight for me, but taught me about watching pennies and obviously campaign management on a national scale.
Great. Thank you for that. So it's been said that to run a great campaign, you cannot sleep. Not take your eye off the ball, not even for a second. So it doesn't look like that actually applies to you. So what's your secret?
I haven't really got a secret as such. I think because I'm passionate about what I do,
yeah,
and I'm very passionate about delivering results, not just for me, but for also for, in the example of Inspire Your Biz, people that actually come along to the events really getting value out of attending, I don't stop, because if I stop, in a sense, balls fall, and sometimes, you know, you can feel a little bit downhearted at the end if you see that there's a gap in what you've done. So I try to keep my eye on the ball all the time. That said, I think when I've worked on other projects, it has been possible for me to keep my eye off the ball because I'm able to delegate. So when I worked as an employee, I had a team, a large team that reported into me, and I was able to delegate to them and therefore take my eye off the ball on certain projects and work on more critical matters. However, with social media, which I think is where everybody sees me the most online, and obviously with the print distribution that I do, I don't think it's possible to take your eye off the ball because social media is a 24/7 job.
Yes.
All the time. It has to be done.
24/7.
Yes,
okay.
It does, yeah.
So, V, you won an award from the Global Entrepreneurship Week, the team of that organisation.
Mm-hmm.
How did that make you feel?
I was quite taken back by it, to be honest, because it wasn't something that I was looking to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of history behind Inspire Your Biz is that I was actually hoping to have started promoting it from as early as May to, mm-hmm. to kick off as a one-off event in November.
Right.
And I spoke to two of the key speakers back in May and said, you know, I'd be starting my planning and promotion, and actually didn't start my planning and promotion until late September. In fact, the final week of September, which was okay. In effect 5 weeks before Inspire Your Biz took place. And with effective team working and a really robust comms plan, I was able to deliver the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wasn't expecting the outcome that I had on the day or the feedback and the buzz that has now built into a series of Inspire Your Biz events. So I think for me, I'm slightly still a little bit shocked to even be saying to people it's an award-winning event. I mean, it's not an award that was given to just me, just to clarify. Global Entrepreneurship Week, as a UK campaign partner, there are lots of people involved in that particular initiative. However, we all had to, if we were interested in delivering certain elements of their campaign, fulfil certain criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And part of my extra, if you like, for my event was making sure that I had monitoring, so specific measures in place. And those specific measures were around things that I'd standardly do anyway. So feedback forms, you know, post-event follow-up,
yeah,
making sure people had certain resources at the event. Those are things I would typically do anyway.
Yeah.
And the result was that I got an email back, which I was really shocked about, saying that I'd won this host Global Impact Award, which is good for me and really good as well for everybody that was involved in that launch event.
Fantastic. Congratulations on that again. Now, this is a fun question that I ask everybody. We've all been, I've been 16 before. I've been asked what I wanted to do, and it's been completely different to what I'm doing now.
Mm.
So if you were a 16-year-old school leaver and the careers officer says, V, come to the office and let us know what you want to be when you grow up, what would you have said to that person back in the day?
Back in the day, I would have said I wanted to be a linguist.
Oh.
Because I was very interested in communication, the art of communication. I studied Latin. I absolutely hated anything that was non-language, although I did well in my exams.
You should have been a lawyer then.
Oh, no, it was too many years of study. But, Latin, French, I did a bit of Spanish. I did very well in my GCSEs in those subjects as well. And was very passionate about languages and still am now. And so, at 16, I definitely would have said a linguist. I went into the marketing sort of zone when I started analysing language used in advertisements, as geeky as that sounds, and also looking at how people use language to effectively communicate sales pitches.
Mm.
Because when I started off at BT, before I went into the marketing world of BT, I was actually in sales.
Oh, okay.
And so it was a lot of scripting and cold calling and having to use language to convey their key messages and close sales down.
Okay.
So, it went from linguist at 16 to where I am now.
Well, you're still using language very powerfully.
Yes,
So you haven't lost it.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for that. This is Tea with Lily, and I'm here with marketing powerhouse Ms. V. Roberts of Insight to Marketing and Inspire Your Biz. The results of her campaign show her enthusiasm for stretching your marketing dollars to the max. For her, it's not about thinking outside of the box. For her, there is absolutely no box. Now, V, I looked online and I got a couple of testimonials. I'm going to share one now. From Karen Fiabe. She says, or wrote, V is a very driven, talented and commercially astute marketer who achieves real results for her clients or projects. I found her to have a common sense and intelligent approach to meeting her goals and a real pleasure to work with. Any client or employer would add real value to their business bottom line by having V on board their marketing leadership team. Oh, wow. How does that sound?
Yeah, I think it's a fair reflection of me in terms of the passion that I have around my profession. And I'm a big team player. I'm always about trying to save costs and looking at smarter ways to work. So I'd say that's a fair impression. And there are so many testimonials, some which aren't even online, some that I have just by email that people who aren't on LinkedIn have not submitted. Or sent through to me, but I think there's a common theme is that I'm very passionate, and I'm someone that likes to come with fresh ideas. I'm not typically someone that just does what's been done already. And that's, I think, to do with my chess background, strategic thinking. I'd say it's a fair enough reflection for me.
You're a chess player.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, okay. One of my hobbies that I'm still trying to get my son into, but he doesn't seem to have
He'll he'll come round, don't worry. Now, V, we've touched on your expertise as a pretty hot property when it comes to running big marketing campaigns. What's your secret to making it all happen?
I wouldn't say I've got a secret as such. I think the motivation behind what I do is definitely my family and having people around me that inspire me. Mm-hmm. And I think... in terms of the strapline making it happen, for me, the secret really is the motivation behind what I do, and that motivation is my family primarily.
So how did the idea of Inspire Your Biz come about?
When I became freelance, I was really in a bad place, to be honest, because I was made redundant and really did not want to rely on the state for support. I didn't have any access to resources like finance, or actually I didn't actually know where the resources were, and I didn't make myself available to know either. I kind of shut down and became a bit insular, but I was still very serious about my business. And I think there are many people out there like that, who they're in a rut for whatever reason, you know, they're stuck in the job that they don't like, or they don't have any money to attend, you know, really expensive networking events that are £40 plus a ticket. You know, they don't have time to go to that breakfast meeting at 6 to 8 to exchange business cards. And
because maybe they have kids.
Right, exactly. So there's resource issues there, and there's potentially also financial burdens and or family commitments, which is restricting people and was actually restricting me at the time. And I remember when I first saw the light, so to speak, and I said, mm-hmm. Right, I'm going to just sort myself out now and really get to grips with what I want to do. It came to me that I need to be out there networking.
Okay.
And the biggest problem for me then was that I was trying to network with absolutely no funds. So trying to get into, for example, a meeting which starts at 6 until 8 with absolutely no money to subscribe or become a member or pay an annual fee was going to be a mission.
Mm-hmm.
However, on speaking to one particular person that ran a district of networking events... in Southeast London, I was able to convince this individual that I really needed to be in this group, and I was taken on board just through having conversations, and I was actually allowed to engage with the group for a short time, and from that, actually, I haven't looked back, because what I learned from that is that sometimes there are people that will give you that break, but you need to get yourself out there.
Absolutely.
If you're doing what I was initially doing, which is being insular and not necessarily having that motivation and that drive and that get up and go, and you're not educating yourself on what you need to do to launch yourself, I guess, then you will always be stuck in that rut.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think the breakthrough was attending that meeting for free, because from there I then went on to other meetings and I became a face that was within a local level only, though. I got the buzz from just attending one networking event, yeah, and I saw that this was something that I really needed to do. And from the networking, you know, I went on to, as I said, contracting. Mm-hmm. And it's the contracting that then made me think even more recently, now I need to now focus on my brand again and just get back into it. So Inspire Your Biz is really about people who were like myself, financially in a rut, don't have the resources, may not have access to childcare, because that's obviously a feature that we offer at the events as well, free childcare at the networking, and also sort of resource. So you might work a 9-to-5 and have a business idea, but actually by the time 6 o'clock comes, you don't want to go to that networking event from 7 till 9,
yeah,
you know, because you've got family to care for and you need to manage that work-life balance. So that Inspire Your Business built around the ethos that not everybody is, you know, affluent, not everybody has that drive, and some people do need that push. And this event, which is obviously come about as a result of what I thought was going to be a one-off event, is now a series that will inspire and engage and inform people with lots of ideas for a very small cost, you know. And when they leave, I mean, just searching the hashtag, you know, and looking at the reviews and things, it's very evident that people are still buzzing about the event since November even.
Yes.
And many of the people that I attended in January, just the other day, are people that attended in November also.
Yes.
Which is good. And I now have people that are saying to me, right, I'm going to get a group together, you know, and we're going to come. And this is for the next event, which is obviously March the, yes, the 8th, Sunday, 8th March, March the 8th, yeah. So it's good. It's good for me that the idea that I had, as I said, as a one-off is now working, and it's working to the benefit of others. It's not a profit-making thing for me. It really is about my high is making other people be better off in terms of where they need to be in terms of their business.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how it was born.
So Inspire Your Biz, 8th of March, all roads lead to, where is it again?
It's Jury's Inn in Croydon.
Jury's,
yeah,
Inn,
Wellesley
Croydon.
Road.
Yeah. Okay. So V, what's the profile of your typical client for your marketing consultancy?
I wouldn't say that it's a typical client, because I've worked across a number of different industries, and you know, everything from telecoms right through to healthcare. You know, I've worked with GPs, I've worked with one-man bands, I've worked with media companies, filming companies.
Not... Can we say one-person bands?
One-person bands, yes, of course, one-person bands, yeah, we've got to be diverse. So, yeah, one-person band. And yeah, I don't have a particular client. I don't say no to anyone. I mean, what I would say is that I work with any budget, and I've got fortunate to have a very wide range of skills in marketing. I'm not just pigeonholed into, you know, design and print or, you know, marketing campaigns. I've done it all, advertising, you know, managing an agency that will deliver website design and things like that. So it's a very wide range. It's a fully integrated agency that I run here with, you know, wider external contacts that I use as and when to do projects. And yeah, I wouldn't say there's a particular, it's just anyone that's serious about business.
Yeah.
I can't work with, or I should say I can't really relate to people who say that they want their business to grow but perhaps don't really get what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're given the advice on what they need to do, they still don't take the action.
Because
to me, that's not someone serious in business.
Mm-hmm.
So I will always offer advice, but where I see that someone's not taking action, then I kind of turn off myself, I think.
Yes,
and
yeah,
if I see that someone's as passionate about their business as I am, about helping their business grow, then that's a great connection. It doesn't matter what field they're in or what their budget is. I will always offer support where I can.
That's great. That's really great. I'll remember that. So what's been your most challenging and rewarding gig? It could either be a challenging gig and rewarding gig at the same time, or one was challenging and the other was rewarding?
I think the same gig, it would have to be managing the Croydon at Mipim event which is an example that I use often, because it's definitely something that's really stretched me in my career. And that's
the Croydon in full. What was the project again?
When I was working, I was actually working as an employee of Croydon Economic Development Company, which was became the parent company of Croydon Bid, but has now closed down. And I was heading up a small team there, and I was asked to take over from a colleague who was leaving to head up the Croydon at MIPIM project. And that involved quite a lot of different briefing, and it involved me basically leading this team of 20 plus, coordinating and closing sponsorship deals with the property investors, organising all of their branding, the stand design. Then we had Boris come to the stand, and so much things had to be done as part of the project plan. So quite a few different investors that all had participated in making the budget, so to speak, for this project. It was quite a challenge to make sure that everybody got what they wanted. But we did it, and we did it well. And actually, we got very good feedback in terms of the leads that we generated, over 250 leads on the stand, which were then followed up by the likes of Finn Williams at Croydon Council. And we also then looked at sort of post follow-up as well of the event. So it showed it showed and proved that actually all the effort of actually going through all those challenges was worth it, because it was probably, and still is, I mean, it's searchable online still now, the prospectus and stuff, one of the most successful coordinate MIPIMs that they've had in terms of the overall look and feel of the event. So.
Great. So again, talking about your marketing consultancy, I'm going to pretend that I'm new to business, and I've come to you, newly qualified graphic designer, looking to get my name out there. No money, no budget, no clue what to do. All I know is I'm good at what I do and I want to market myself. Even accounting I can't even do. What would you do with somebody like me if I was to come to you and say, V, help me, I need marketing advice?
Well, I think the first thing, which costs absolutely nothing, is to suggest to someone that who has no budget, no nothing, to try and educate themselves. There are lots of resources that are available for free. Even if you're not a member of a library, you can go in a library and read books, current books on marketing theory, you know, setting up a business, and even accounting, you can teach yourself. There are lots of what they call dummy guides. And even online as well, if you don't have access to the internet at home, you can access the library internet, and you know, there are lots of resources online just by searching on Google. Try and look at who the key influencers are online, and learn from them, their blog posts. But deciding who you are as a brand, I think, and also making sure that you maintain consistent practice in everything that you do is very important. So whether or not you are launching straight away or you're just thinking about what you want to do, I think one of the first things that you need to understand as a business owner is what you are, who you represent, what your mission is going to be, who your ideal customer is, why would they come to you. And I think, assuming that a business plan is already underway, or you've got a set of ideas, you know, in terms of goals and how you're going to find funding or use funding for your business, then from there it's really about making sure that you get your name out there. So whether that's networking, you know, blogging, reading, connecting with people, you know, even doing an A4 poster on a piece of white paper that you hand draw, you know, and distribute it. Getting your name out there is really important. If you're good at what you do, people will warm to you. And if you've got a really good brand as well, it's it should come together.
Brand is everything. I would say that.
Slight bias, but yeah, I'd have to agree.
So on any given day, you wear several hats, such as, you know, marketing guru, social media evangelist, small business champion, PR mogul, entrepreneur, endless list. Which one of these is by far your best career pastime?
I think the strategic thinking side of it, so the campaign planning. I mean, often businesses come to me for, you know, a quick 15-minute chat to pick my brain, so to speak. And they'll ask me, oh, V, what should I do? I've got this idea. You know, I'm thinking about getting a logo designed by this designer. What shall I do? and I offer basically advice, strategic advice, on a number of different levels, not just for people that are starting a business, but also in terms of business growth as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where I get my buzz, and that's probably where one of my biggest strength is strategic campaign planning. Certainly when I've worked out of agencies for clients, that has been my main function and strength in comparison to other candidates, that I am a strategic thinker, and I've got commercial background as well as, you know, the sales background and stuff. But then secondary to that, I think the social media, so the engagement that I get in managing not just my own but also other clients' social media activity, and seeing the increase in followers. For example, Inspire Your Biz, which is one of my accounts that I manage, is started in the first week in October, I think, and it's now got over 1,400 followers.
That's great.
And for various reasons, I mean, there are many businesses that would struggle to achieve that, and it's, for me, it's not even enough, but it's because I'm wearing so many other hats. So yeah, I think skills and strengths are definitely social media, campaign planning, and partnership working is where I
working with partners.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to read the second testimonial from Julian Ellaby. Julian is the campaigns and communications director at London Borough of Lambeth. Venetia, that's your name, right?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Well, everybody, it's Venetia. Venetia has worked as part of the Lambeth Council communications team. She worked in several roles, demonstrating an ability to adapt to the requirements of the team, as well as bringing initiative and enthusiasm to her roles. She's creative in her approach and is confident when dealing with colleagues at all levels. She's a capable communications officer, and I enjoyed working with her. Oh, wow. I've got goosebumps now. well done. I mean, you obviously know what you do, and, you know, it's almost like, you know, I'm saying too much, but it's good that people that you worked with who've seen what you do will so selflessly say that about you. And not everybody can get that, so I think that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't all be work. Right?
Yeah.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Currently it's sleeping. I would probably say just chilling out, taking time out for me, as I mentioned earlier, whenever I can get that time, mum time, me time, and also career woman time.
Yeah.
And career woman time probably takes up, I would say, 60% of what I do, which is probably not a good thing right now, but it's everybody who is starting a business or in business in the first sort of few years understand you need to really put in the work for it to work.
Exactly.
And so the balance is the other 40%, which is really where I look at mum and me time. I mean, mum is 24/7 around the clock anyway, but when I'm talking about homing in on mum as mum,
you being
shutting down from everything else, that is really important to me. And having time with my family is really important to me as well. I'm very family orientated. And then also, I'm secretly an ex-party animal. So whenever there is a good function, and I'm a bit of a party animal occasionally now still. But yes, it's important that there's that balance. A lot of people take on the role of mom or role of, you know, career woman, and they forget that they're still a woman. And as a woman, you actually have different needs, emotional needs, and also different interests as well. So it's nice for me to be able to separate the three.
So I'm just trying to picture you as a raver, and I can't right now.
Check out my Instagram. No, just kidding.
For various reasons that I will not go into.
Yeah.
But is it the dancing or the music that lets you, you know, brings you? Some people it's just the dancing, some people it's the music. What is it?
I think it's the social element of it, of just getting out and escaping the day-to-day, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I do enjoy dancing. I enjoy lots of different genres of music as well, and that's something that one of my Instagram posts actually say, and I post it regularly, is that my music interests are actually, they all surprise people because it's very varied. But it's just getting out that escapism of socialising and being in a venue, and it doesn't always have to be a club, but if there's a party going on, it's a private party, and there's a setting there where I can just block out, you know, career, block out mummy, then I'm fully involved.
That's a real eye opener for me. Now, we all support charities for personal reasons. Mm-hmm. Which charities do you support? Why?
I've supported a number of charities over the years. Working as an employee with BT and different councils, I've always given through my salary as donation as well. So in the past, that's been like Children's Care, Children's Cancer Charities, ACLT, Lloyd's Lifeline, which is a charity that I've done some work with more recently, breast cancer, and even Brixton Soup Kitchen, which is one of the guest speakers that we had at the last Inspire Your Biz. So Solomon and Mohammed, fully backing anything that they're wanting to do to raise funds for their mobile kitchen.
Yes.
But there are a number of different initiatives that I'll support, and I follow charity news, and I'm always sort of keeping up to date with different fundraising initiatives that are run through, you know, Mind and Rethink, when they have their Paul Jenkins, the CEO, who was CEO of Rethink, because actually does quite a lot of bike rides and things like that. So I've often donated to him as well. Just varies, really. It depends on the cause, and I think as well the person's case that they put forward. Sometimes you can have charities that are, for branding reasons, unfortunately not positioning themselves as a good cause, even though they have a valid good cause, and so you're not compelled to support them. And actually, when you drill down under the surface of that charity, you see that beyond their branding or not enough branding, they have actually got a good cause there.
So it's the personal stories that they tell that get to you.
And I think that's actually just generally marketing nowadays is about storytelling.
And
if you can't tell a story,
marketing has always been about storytelling. People don't realize that it's about telling a compelling story.
That
will get people to listen and engage with people.
People to connect to your brand, I guess. It's just more so catching on now, I think, in third sector about the importance of storytelling. Particularly where there's a big push for fundraising now, because there's so many different charities. There's so many I could mention, but then there's not one that I actively support, just that one on its own. It's always been a sort of mixed match, and I'll even buy copies of The Big Issue when I've got change on me and I'm on the street. So it's I'll support a number of good causes and or individuals.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. Now, how can our listeners connect with you if they want further information to help with your entrepreneurial and professional dreams?
There's a number of ways. I mean, the first way is to come and meet me personally in the flesh at the next Inspire Biz, which is on Sunday the 8th of March at Drury's Inn in Croydon. Second way is to drop me a line or a tweet via Twitter. I'm actually at i2marketing, so that's I and then the number 2 and then the word marketing, all one word. And for the event of Inspire Your Biz, similarly, it's just Inspire UR Biz, B-I-Z. So there's either of those two Twitter handles. And the website is insightstomarketing.com, which is insight, the number 2, marketing.com.
Okay, thank you for that. What are your top 3 tips for the new fledgling entrepreneur?
Top 3 tips. There's so many. There's about 10 different tips that I could give. But to be honest, the ones that I have learnt to sort of endorse now are the importance of staying connected. And I think for me, that's, as I said, the background to any business being successful, not just a startup. Staying connected with your industry, trends, you know, attending networking events, and also at the same time, maintaining the work-life balance, so don't overdo it. I think tip 2 as well is just about believing in your dreams and actually just jumping for what you want and not letting anyone tell you that you can't do anything. If you really are passionate about an idea, don't be held back because someone says it won't work. And don't be held back because someone says, you know, that you can't do it. Still go for it if you're that passionate about it. That's my second tip. I think the third tip would probably be to make sure that you remember that it's about being focused, remaining focused, and also having hope as well. So the perseverance and patience and persistence, I think the three P's for me, are really important.
The typical marketer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really important, because without those three P's, really, you're likely to fall down at some point, or even question whether or not you're capable of doing it.
Yeah.
And anyone is capable of running a business. They just need the right backative and the right motive and drive, and in some cases the right team behind them of supporters. Yeah. Mm. All of which can be found at Inspire Biz.
Whoa, Inspire Biz, come along, 8th of March. That's it. Now, so the three tips are: stay connected and maintain a work-life balance, take a leap of faith and believe in your dreams. That's mm-hmm. tip two. And the third is the three P's: persevere, be patient and be persistent.
Yeah.
All very good advice. So, Miss V. Roberts, your journey is an inspiring one, and I've certainly learned a lot today, which means that if you can't find what you're looking for, you can always set it up yourself. I wish you all the best and enormous success with your business, and will you come back again and give us an update on Inspire Your Biz and Insight to Marketing?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Now, listeners, again, if you have any questions for V, please email her at info@insighttomarketing.com or look on the website insighttomarketing.com and hashtag InspireYourBiz, and you can get her there. You can also email me at lilyyeboah@gmail.com and I'll be happy to pass on the message. Please tune in again for the next episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host, Lily Mensah-Yeboah, and until next time, keep smiling and always...